All right, and my first question is just your name and field of study.
My name is Jennifer Sargent. I'm a visiting associate professor of writing at Dartmouth. My areas of inquiry, areas of study are expository writing, and so my sub specialty in expository writing is crime, psychology and crime, ethics and crime, the American criminal justice system, and to some extent, constitutional rights as they fit into that, into those areas.
Okay, great. Thank you. And then can you tell us about your background and what brought you to Dartmouth?
Yes, I came to Dartmouth in 2006 as an adjunct professor when the Institute for Writing and Rhetoric was just starting up. Tom Corman, who is in the computer science department, he was the first director of the Institute for Writing and Rhetoric when Writing and Rhetoric split off from the English department. And he and I knew each other socially, and he knew I was a professor at Vermont Law School and also a district court judge, and he asked me if I had any time to teach a writing five, because he was hiring people in certain disciplines to come in and teach people who had been both active writers in their profession, who'd also had some academic experience. I had had a judicial clerkship and done a lot of research in writing for the judiciary and obviously as a lawyer. So I said yes and started teaching one class and pretty much taught one class, either one term or two terms, while I was still a judge on the bench in New Hampshire and while I was still a professor at Vermont Law School. And then I left the judiciary in 2008 to become New Hampshire Bar Counsel. And I did not work at Dartmouth during the period I was New Hampshire Bar Counsel. And then after I finished at the New Hampshire Bar Counsel, I came as New Hampshire Bar Counsel for the Attorney Discipline Office. I came back to trying to figure out what I wanted to do next, and I spoke to the chair of the department at that time, who had also been the chair when I left, and her name is Christiane Donahue, and I said, "Could I come back to Dartmouth?" And she said, "Absolutely." So back I came, and it became my full-time job.
And how comfortable do you personally feel as a professor at Dartmouth?
I would say I have to answer that question sort of with two audiences.
Yeah, definitely.
With the students, I feel extremely comfortable because the students are really why I teach. I always feel like that's any professor's first obligation at a college. If you want to go to a university, perhaps it's a little different, but at a college that says teaching is our number one priority, which Dartmouth does, I feel like that's the number one priority. So I aim to really engage with students, really touch a lot of students, both professionally and in the classroom and professionally as a mentor and a guidance counselor to some extent, sometimes even as a friend. But I maintain good boundaries with my students. So I'm very comfortable with teaching as a professor here at Dartmouth with my students. I feel like I can say what I need to say, I can share ideas with them, I can be pretty unfiltered, but in a professional way with them. In terms of the other audience, which I see as sort of the administration slash my other colleagues here, I feel less comfortable. Part of that comes from being an adjunct professor, not having a permanent appointment or even a long-term contract. So I always feel like the school feels like I'm replaceable at any time, which I am, frankly. And I think that the school also doesn't do a very good job of acknowledging the work that many professors do on a teaching level. I think they reward research, but I don't think that they reward teaching very well. I find the administration to be disorganized. I don't think that the leadership right now is particularly very hands-on or very reality-based. And so I feel less comfortable here at Dartmouth. Mm-hmm. Also, as a woman, and as a woman who teaches about justice and about race and about lookism and about ideas of prejudice, I see Dartmouth talking a good game, but not following through with pretty much 90%, I'd say, of what they say their intentions are. And I think when they try, they're not using their heads a lot of times. A lot of things are not implemented in a way that make them realistic, that encourage participation, or that frankly make any difference. So I would say I feel not extremely comfortable. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
As a professor regarding the administration.
And that's something that's been echoed regarding tenure and whatnot for professors. I think that that's really important.
Watching the tenure process for professors of color and mm-hmm. for women here at Dartmouth is an absolutely, it's disheartening. I can only imagine what it's like to be a professor, a woman, or a woman of color, going through the process herself. But even as an outsider, it's embarrassing, it's disheartening, and I'm very concerned with the culture of a place where I work. For me, I've mindfully chosen places where I've worked in the past because of because of their culture, and I'm starting to dislike the culture, the academic culture at Dartmouth, not the students, but I'm starting to dislike the administrative / academic culture at Dartmouth. And when I dislike the culture, and I feel like it's not a culture that's egalitarian, it makes me not want to work here.
Right. Thank you. And what is your perception on the diversity and inclusivity of Dartmouth's campus?
I think that the campus itself is significantly lacking in both diversity and inclusiveness. I think that there is a divide between students of color and Caucasian students. I think there's a divide between males and females. And I don't think that the college is working well to bridge those divides.
And how do you find students and professors' general receptivity to larger social and political issues on campus?
I don't know anything, frankly, about my colleagues' receptivity. I don't know what the administrators, frankly, are doing in large part because they don't...
It's not transparent.
They're not transparent at all. And they don't really talk about what they talk about what the initiatives are, but then there's never any information that comes about, like, here's what we've done, except usually this annual report sort of thing that I look at it and I think, okay, so we're talking about the Energy Institute, or we're talking about a grant that someone's gotten. I'll give you an excellent example. This year, the Arthur Vining Davis Foundation gave the Office of Student Life, or the Dean of Student Life, the Dean of the College, basically, Rebecca Byron, who I have great respect for, actually, a grant to do mini seminars with faculty for students all throughout the year. And they allowed professors to either give mini seminars on their particular areas of interest, mm-hmm. or to do inclusivity seminars that were run by Opal, or, you know, like IGD seminars where we got trained by Opal, or other seminars whereby we talked about bridging those divides that I've spoken mm-hmm. about. So I was selected to participate, and I wanted to participate as one of the IGD, the Intergroup Dialogue mm-hmm. professors. Had a wonderful training with Opal. There were a lot of us, six of us in our group, who wanted to do it, and we got trained, and we were armed with all of the material, and mm-hmm.